There's ever a time in the world which we live is that we need more prayer than ever before. I cannot ever stress that enough, because when the Word of God, as we will see, when the Word of God says that there will be wars and rumors of wars, you know, I've been hearing that since I was a little kid. My dad preached it for many, many years. But we are here now at that point. There are numerous wars that are going on right now around the world. And we even have a war going on in America with all of the chaos that has been going on with just everything. And how that we as believers are challenged that we are to pray more than ever before, because of the chaos that we are living in now and the things that we're dealing with, and it's happening so fast. But I want to share with you a little bit of where Jesus clearly lets us know that we must be praying at all times, because prayer is essential. Prayer is part of our Christian walk. It's part of our Christian development, is that we stay in communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to look here a little bit. As you have your Bibles today, hold them up. That's the sword of the Spirit. I know it's going to be projected on the screen. So here, let's look at this. Luke's Gospel 18:1. Let's look at that. Then he spoke a parable to them. This is Jesus speaking here. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray. Now, if Jesus tells his disciples to pray, he's letting us know that you and I must pray. We can't forget not to pray. Some will pray for their meal before they eat. I used to get onto my kids all the time. We would sit around the table and they would start digging in when they're little before we started to pray. And I'd say, "Oh, have you prayed?" "No, Daddy, I haven't prayed." "Yep." I said, "Let's pray. We got to pray before we eat. We pray before we eat." And so I drilled that into them like a sergeant, drill sergeant, that you are to bless your food before you eat. Even when I'm at a restaurant, you are to bless over your food. Because you know why? You want to thank God for the food, but you also want to make sure the food is okay for you to eat. Because you never know. So that's why you must bless your food at all times. And so just the other day, my son, we were sitting at the table, and I looked over at him. I said, and I was running late, and they were at the table. I said, "Son, did you pray over the food?" She said, "Yes, sir, Dad, I did. I prayed over it." I said, "That's what I like to hear, praying over the food, because you've got to stay in prayer." Why? Because God has blessed you. He has blessed you with food, and the least that you can do is when you sit at the table and food is being prepared, you are to bless that food and thank God for the food, because there are less fortunate that doesn't have food. And so we're always to be mindful to be in prayer. This is what Jesus says, that men always ought to pray, not lose heart, saying, and he gives a parable here, he gives a story. He lets them know. He said, "Now I want to share something with you." He says, Jesus says, "Now I want you to think about this." He says, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regarded man. And now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary.'" Verse 4, "And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man,'" verse 5, "'yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me and wears me out. And then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he who will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Can I hear an amen to God's word? Jesus broke down the word and letting them know. Even a judge that doesn't regard God, even a judge that doesn't care because he's a judge, yet the widow came to him constantly, over and over again, avenge me, help me, stop this madness that I'm dealing with, stop this situation. And it wore him down to the point that he made some changes in her life. This position of this parable proceeds even by a verse about Christ and his return. This position of this parable also ends with a verse about Christ and his return. In other words, a parable for our time that we need to understand how that we need to be consistent and persistent in our prayer life, not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday nights, but daily, every day, our walk of life of every day. When we wake up in the morning, when we close our eyes at night, we need to be mindful to be in a prayer mode. My first thing I want you to know today is praying instead of fainting. Praying instead of fainting. This is a parable for our time. How shall we pray in the last days? How shall we pray in the last days? Do you know? Prayer is only for now. Prayer is only for on the earth. Do you know when we get to heaven, there will be no praying in heaven? Prayer is gone. Because why? Victory has won. Jesus Christ has won. There'll be no more praying. There'll be no more begging about this and begging about that and praying about this and praying for healing about everything will come to a complete end. Prayer is for us now. Prayer is communicating with God on a daily basis, because when we are in heaven, we will no longer have to pray, because we will be connected with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we will not have to ask for anything. We will not have to tell for anything. We will not have to mention anything, because everything will come together as one. Because the Bible says that when we see Christ, we will be like Him. And I want you to know today, prayer is essential for us today. Faint. We are not to give up. We are not to stop. We are to continue to press on. The Apostle Paul says, I press on to a higher calling in Christ Jesus. I press on towards a higher prize. The prize is in Christ Jesus. I don't look to the left nor to the right. I don't look to this and to that. I don't listen to this and to that. But I listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. I keep my eyes on the cross. Keep my eyes on the goal, knowing that we are to reach where Jesus Christ is. Listen, Luke 18 and 1 says this. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. I really do believe we lose heart and we lose our faith when we don't pray. When we don't communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to lose grip of our walk with God. We begin to lose the edge that we once had because we're not communicating with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say to me today, well, Pastor, I don't pray like you with these and thous and thou sayeth this. And listen, it's not all of that. It is like me and you speaking right now. It's not with all oracles and it's not with all the these and thous. It is God wants to hear your heart. You're to speak to Him just like we are talking today, just like you're talking to a friend on the phone, just like you're sharing with one another. That's the same communication that needs to take place in your walk with God, in your prayer life. He wants to hear from you. Why? Because He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you that is connected. He wants to be connected with you. He is not a God to be served on a shelf. He's not a God to be served from a distance. He's not a God to be served just on Sunday. He's not a God to be just served just whenever. He wants to know you inside and out, and He wants you to communicate with Him because He wants to show you great and mighty things. That's the God that we serve. So we must pray, and we must not give up nor faint. Listen, there is a privilege of prayer. Many invitations of prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call to me. Jeremiah says, as he begins to speak, call to me. God says, call to me. I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. What is God saying? God is even saying this through Jeremiah the prophet. Call to me. I will answer you. He's not a God that will not answer. He's a God that will answer. He may not answer when you want Him to answer, but He will answer when you call upon Him, and He will not only call upon you, but He will show you. Not only will He show you, He'll show you great and mighty things which you don't even know. You've heard me say it. I'll say it again. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man. What God has in store for those that love Him, that are called according to His purpose, you'll never begin to understand it. Your thoughts are not His thoughts. Your ways are not His ways. They are far past finding. How unsearchable are His ways. You can't do it. You can't. But all you can do is yield and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender everything unto You, Lord. Listen, there's many invitations to prayer. John 16 and 24, John's gospel. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask, communicate, share with the Lord. Let Him know what's going on. Oh, you say, well, Pastor, He already knows. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He already knows. He's there. He's like, yeah, He's all of that. But He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear you verbally come out with it. He wants you to express it. He wants you to share it. He wants you to be motivated enough that you will take the energy. If you take the energy to wake up in the morning and brush your teeth, and you take the energy to go to work, and you take the energy to work on a job, well, all that energy that you're doing is the same energy that He's wanting you to communicate with Him. He's wanting you to talk to Him. He's wanting you to share with Him whether it's good or whether it's bad. Oh, but Pastor, I don't bother God unless it's a big problem. It doesn't matter if it's big or small. God wants to be involved in everything. Why? Because you can't get away from Him. David said, if I make my bed in hell, Lord, You're there. If I make my bed in heaven, Lord, You're there. Lord, wherever You go, You are there. there. So you can't get away from him because he's there. Listen, prayer is even fitting for crisis in our lives. Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing that we all have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast of our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points, this is directing to the Lord Jesus Christ, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have been moved by such the high priest. Who is the high priest? Jesus Christ is our high priest who has passed through heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast. Don't faint. Stay in fervent prayer. A fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much as we continue to continue on, even when our prayers are not being answered. You're still to press on. You're still to plow. You're still to pray. The Bible clearly lets us know that we are to hold to the plows. And we're not to look back, because if we look back, we're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. But we're to look forward. We are to move forward in Christ Jesus. And yet our priest, who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are. He was human. He was human, yet was without sin, but let us now come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. That's how we can have what Christ has given unto us. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, you and I can come boldly before the throne of grace and know that we have victory on top of victory. Finding grace. I don't know about you, but I want grace. I want to go with Jesus Christ in grace and in mercy. I don't want to go by the law, but I want to go by the grace of God. Because the law is nothing but sin and death, but the grace of God is through the Lord Jesus Christ that He will give you and I mercy. Prayer brings great results. You may not see it now. You might not see it tomorrow. You may not see it next week. But the grace of God brings results. 1 John 5 and 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. And now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask, listen, anything according to His will, not our will, but His will, He hears us. Look at this. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. If it is in His will. A lot of times we want to pray for our will. Well, God, this is what I want. God, I've got to have $5,000 next week. I got to have a brand new car. I got to have this. I got to have. It's not about what you want. It's about what God wants for your life. It's what's best for your life. God says, I will give you the desires of your heart, but He will not give us something that He sees that's going to destroy us spiritually and bring us down physically and cause calamity upon us. Why? Because we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. He's not going to give something to you to destroy you, but He's going to give something to you to bless you. And He says, if I give you a little bit, He says, I want to see what you'll do with a little bit. And when you do good with a little bit, then I'll give you a good bit big. And I'll give you a little bit bigger bit. And I'll give you a little bit more, but I need to see what you're going to do with the small stuff. You see, God clearly knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. He's not going to give you something that's going to destroy you, something that's going to cause bad things for you. Because He clearly says, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. Sometimes in our life, we just feel like, fainting. We feel like just giving up. We feel like, well, what's the use? You know, some of you today may feel that way. Oh man, what's the use? What's in it for me? I don't see anything, you know? It's almost like people in our society, and it's true in our society, they don't want to help nobody else out, but they want to say, well, what's in it for me? Well, if I help you, what you gonna do for me? So that's the world we live in, but that's not what the Heavenly Father is wanting us to have the mindset that we are to help those that helps us. We are to help no matter what, no matter if nobody reciprocates back to you or gives back to you or gives it back of what you've given, you're still to give. Why? Because God, we are blessed to be to give, and we're blessed to give, and we're to give without any strings attached. Why? Because we're blessed to be a blessing. Give and it shall be given. Give and it shall be given. My sister, when she was living, was a person that stressed that so much and lived that out, that she gave and she gave, but God would always give and give and give to her. And I just was behooved and just mesmerized how that my sister had what she had, because she gave so much, and yet God in return gave back to her more than what she had. But I realized it was all about the heart. It was all about the heart. The Bible says where your heart is where your treasures will be. And if your heart is where it needs to be, as I've always said, God always sees the intent of your heart. He knows where you're at all times. And that's why we are not to faint. It's not for us to be weary. It's not for us to worry. It's not for us to hold on to something that we think we're about to lose. All our strength sometimes, if we faint, seems gone. We're tired of the struggle, and you may be struggling today. And you may say, I am so tired of struggling. I'm tired of going from paycheck to paycheck. I'm tired of this happening and that happening. And that's when you are rock bottom and all that you can do is look up, that's when you're to pray. Prayer. Pray. Communicate. That means when you begin to pray, you're not fainting. When you begin to communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ, end time conditions are too perilous to be perilous. 2 Timothy 3:3, unloving, as in the last days it talks about. The Bible says unloving, 2 Timothy 3:3, unloving, unforgiving, slander, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. This is where we're at. We're living in those last days. But if we're not careful, we will miss out. But for us to stay connected is to stay in prayer. You've got to stay in prayer. Prayer is essential in your life, in your walk with God. Listen, some will be tempted to cave in. But I want you to know today, God is up to the occasion. He is keeping you away from caving in. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Don't let the enemy take you for a ride. Because God is up for the occasion to take you out of what you're in that dilemma and bring you out. Listen. When your knees are about to give away, you pray. When everything else seems to be failing. And you may be like a fixer. You're trying to fix things in life. You're trying to fix your life. You're trying to fix this, fix that. Sometimes you can't fix anything in your life. Sometimes you have to look up and go into prayer and say, Lord Jesus, take inventory in my life, in my family's life. Lord, begin to do a search in my life. That's why David clearly said, Lord, search me, know me. See if there be any wicked way, Lord. Try me, test me. Lord, do whatever you can, Lord. Let me get back in your favor, Lord. And through the power of prayer, when we communicate with God, then God begins to communicate with us. Let me say it again. When you begin to communicate with God, then God begins to communicate with you. Why? Because He loves you. He doesn't want none of His sons and daughters of the Most High God to fail. He's not a God that fails. He's not a God that'll never fail. He'll never fail us. He'll never forsake us. He will always be there with us. All He's asking is for you to cry out, to call upon Him. What did Jonah do in the Bible? He ran from God, but he realized in the belly of the fish there was nowhere else for him to go but to look up to God and say, God, I surrender. I'll do what you've asked me to do. And so what did he do? The big fish threw him up back on land, and he did what God asked him to do. There are times that we may get into a belly of a fish that we don't know which way to go. But praise be to the Lamb of God. When we call upon the name of the Lord and when we begin to search Him, then that's when we will find Him, when we fully surrender to His Lordship. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. That's the God that I'm serving today, folks. That's a God that I want you to know, that's an on-time God. God clearly loves us, but He is wanting us to call upon Him. Wanting to call upon Him. Second point today, pray. Praying that is faithful. praying that is faithful. First, praying instead of fainting. Second, praying that is faithful. Continue to pray. Be faithful. Have faith in God. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. A troubled widow comes to an unjust judge that had no care for God, had no care for anybody. He thought he was the big Ike and he's the judge and he can call the shots. But this widow wanted something done in her life. She was sick and tired of being sick and tired. She had gotten to the point that she was being pressured. She had been dealing with an issue that was a thorn in her flesh, and it kept nagging at her and bothering her over and over. And she said, "Judge, I want something done." We're going to have to be persistent in our prayer life. We're going to have to be persistent with God. You need to say, "God, I'm not going nowhere until you bless me, Lord. I'm not going to go nowhere until you bless me." Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night long and would not let God go. And the Bible says that his hip came out of joint, but he still prayed and begged God, and God answered and delivered. You're going to have to be consistent and persistent with the prayers of God so that God can bless and move in your life. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we've got to show God that we need help. We've got to show God that we're serious. We've got to show God without a shadow of a doubt that, Lord, that you're on the scene and you're still God and you're still in control. We still have to be persistent and consistent in our prayer life with the Lord. God is not an unjust God. Sometimes we act as if He were unjust. Yet the question would be, have you ever doubted God's just? Here Jesus meets us where we are, the widow and her adversary. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me look at this again. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Be vigilant. Don't be sleeping. Don't be sleeping on God. Don't be lackadaisical. Be alert. Be alert. Knowing that your enemy can come in. And if we're not staying in prayer, the enemy will have a heyday in our life. Listen, we see clearly of the widows that was in the Bible, one who is weak and needy, one from whom God intervenes. This widow had a bulldog faith. Let me say it again. This widow had a bulldog faith. You ever seen a bulldog? You ever seen a bulldog, how it would act? They're real feisty dogs. They're mean dogs. They can be mean. Some have tamed them pretty well, but there's some bulldogs that are pretty mean. But she had a bulldog faith. She didn't give up. She didn't give up. She wore that judge out. She went to him every day. That's the way it needs to be in our prayer life. We need to wear God out every day. We need to come to Him with our problems. We need to come with Him with our concerns. We need to come with Him, what? We need to come to Him with our praises. We need to come to Him with our honors. We need to praise. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You still give God praise. Well, you don't know what I'm dealing with. You still give God praise. You still lift Him up. You still thank Him. You say, God, whatever. Job said, Lord, whatever, God. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. He continued on. He didn't give in. He didn't give out. He didn't give up. His own wife told you.